Welcome to the Can I Steal You for a Second podcast, a Bachelor podcast, and part of the Fansided Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in to another episode of the Can I Steal You for a Second podcast. I'm Ashley Young, joined with Natalie Zamora. Girl, we did it. We made it to the Tyler C episode. We did it. It's finally here. How are you feeling about it?
Oh, my gosh. I was so excited. Of course, they threw it in after it was halfway through, just to make people wait. But it was so fun. He is obviously so adorable and fun. And, of course, they had a shot of him, you know, just wearing underwear, shirtless. So funny, because of course they have to do that. But I was really happy to see him.
I was so happy to see him. He is charming. And, you know, I have been saying it all year on the podcast. I want the Matt that we get from those TikToks, from social media, goofy, smiling. And for the first time, I think all season, we saw Matt like giggling, grinning, like he was cheesing when Tyler walked in. So the personality's there. I've been ragging on him a little bit, but I'm happy we got to see that last night.
Yeah, I agree. I think they are just like so adorable together. Their bromance is real. And I think that the date that Matt had with Katie that we'll get into was just so fun. I was legitimately cackling.
And I was like, that's what a relationship should be, right? Like not divulging into your traumas over dinner in front of cameras. Like, it's having a laugh, like making memories.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. We've got to circle back to the drama. That's why we really tune into the show. Peace and harmony. If you never heard that again, would it be too soon?
I literally like tweeted last night, if I hear MJ say peace and harmony one more time, I'm going to throw up, because I don't understand why she kept coming in and saying, like, I preach peace and harmony. I've just been wanting everyone to come together. It's like either you're lying or they edited all of that out. And it's probably a mixture of both, honestly.
It's always the people that preach the most that are the farthest from what they're preaching.
Like, yeah.
The girls that, like, preach, you know, be confident. It's like, just show us with your actions. Like, you know, the peace and harmony. It's like, girl, we've seen nothing but the opposite of peace and harmony from you. And of course, the episode started off with the opposite of peace and harmony. Just drama, like angry, yelling, talking over each other. And, you know, I was happy the episode didn't go too much into it, but I was really excited to see MJ leave. I'm just going to say it. She seemed like, I think I said this last week, you know, she would fight someone, like physically fight someone if it got down to it.
Yeah, I was like at the edge of my seat legitimately watching Matt come back and, you know, decide who he's going to give the rose to, because in a split second I was like, damn, he said he has a connection with MJ. Like, you know he's going to give it to her. But thankfully he said, I cannot give you this rose. Walked her out. Good riddance. I'm sorry, MJ, but I just was not a fan.
Yeah, which is, I think, the opposite. Off the cuff, we were like, she's so cool.
Yeah.
Look at her hair. Like, what a fun personality. And I did a 180 on MJ. My God. Yeah, good riddance. That's probably the best way to say it. And, you know, true to the drama, there was no cocktail. After all the drama, Matt suddenly knew exactly what he wanted, per Chris Harrison's words. And this is where I start to pick sides again. I've moved on from the MJ drama to the Serena Katie drama. Because Miss Serena decides that the reason no one has enough time with everyone is because Katie is just, you know, the arsonist. She's lighting fires everywhere. That caught me off guard.
Same. It was, I don't understand why Matt gave Serena a rose other than producers told him to, because drama. Because he hasn't had like any one-on-one time with her that we've seen. And then she also was kind of like MJ, she was like a little bit of a villain. And then once, you know, the Victorias and the Annas left, like they're coming back up as the villains. And I was like, what are you saying? Like, she basically was just upset she didn't get time with Matt, sure. But then she had to just blame it on someone else. And her argument with Katie, I was just like gasping the whole time. Like, what? Where did it come from?
And then she had the audacity later to, you know, that Katie and her had a moment and Serena confronted Katie. And Katie was like, oh, I thought you were coming to apologize.
Yeah.
And Serena has the audacity to then go back to the girls and say, Katie told me she's not here for the right reason. Like, just completely made it up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was getting kind of mad that the other girls weren't sticking up for Katie. Like, maybe somebody said something and it was cut out or something, but, like, Katie comes back into the room and she's like, I'm right here, like, what are you saying, whatever, like, you can say it to me, and then the girls are just watching. It's like, come on, obviously Serena is in the wrong here. Like, what is going on? I feel like there was kind of like a 180 of like everyone's against Katie now, even if they're not really saying it. Like, they're not defending her. So I was very confused.
Yeah, I feel like we keep seeing a pattern of that, of no one having accountability for their own actions. It's, you know, oh, you misinterpreted my joke, or you took it out of context. And I'm sorry, if a guy wants to spend time with you, he's going to find time, right?
Yeah.
It's not Katie's fault that, you know, Anna did X, Y, and Z. Like, Katie, all she said was she had a conversation. She never named names, you know, when she was talking to Matt. I think we've seen a lot of maturity from Katie and how she, you know, consoled people that felt bullied. I respect her for calling out the toxic and the bullying.
Yeah.
And these women are just like, it's her fault he's not spending time with me. No, if he wanted to spend time with you, he would. Up your game, learn to have a stronger conversation, make a connection. It's really, really shady.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like Serena has got to go next week because she just has, she has no connection with Matt. And like, it's just over. I'm just, every week we're saying, like, I'm just tired of the mean girls. And it's true. I'm like, just, I'm over you. Like, we're at the point where, like, Matt is starting to, like, you know, form connections. So I want to see that. And I want to see the drama with, you know, them, not with the girls at each other.
Yeah, it almost does feel like the drama this season is, like, among the women. And Matt is, like, a side character.
Yeah.
He's just kind of, like, cruising. It's like the crush. They all have a crush on this guy who's the secondary character. But we have to kind of talk about the rumors that came out this week about Katie being the Bachelorette. Reality Steve tweeted that out. But then we had a couple of naysayers. Katie put something on her, like, Instagram story being like, news to me, right?
Yeah.
I so desperately want to believe that she is the next Bachelorette. I so desperately want this.
Yeah, I do too. I really, really like her. And I think it's going to be true. I saw even like a report from Variety that said she's, you know, expected to be announced. So even if they're, like, in the final stages of picking, like, I feel like it's going to be her. And, like, people always are, like, doubting Reality Steve's credibility. But he also, you know, said that Katie was going to go home in the one-on-one date with Matt last night. So it's, like, he was right. And I, on their one-on-one date, we can get to it in a bit, but the entire time I was like, he has to be wrong, right? Like, there's no way. And he was right. So I don't know. I'm believing it.
I am too. And I think going back to like the mean petty girl drama, like we love Katie because she's down to like create entertaining television, right? Like her limo entrance to the conversation. She is at the heart of all the air quotes drama, but she's not like malicious. And I don't know. I don't have this disdain for Katie. So I think she'd be an incredible lead. Justice for Reality Steve, like she's the Bachelor, you know, source of rumors. And spoilers. So I hope it works out and I hope we see more of her. And she's, I think, 29. So it's more of a believable lead for me than, you know, seeing Kit on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I was older than her when I was still in college. Like, what is these young characters in the mix? So I'm all on board for Katie. So we'll see where that brings us. But, you know, we'll keep an eye out for Bachelorette Katie.
Yeah.
The other key player, not even Tyler C, he wasn't the only surprise, again, air quotes on the podcast here, surprise appearance. Our good pal Heather Martin showed up. I'm not sure where to start with this one because it was so, we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Might be some of the worst acting we've seen on the show. She rolls up in a minivan. It's like the least glamorous, dramatic car for a 20-something-year-old woman. No mask.
Yeah.
We have a pandemic going on. There's a pandemic raging across the whole globe right now. I thought we were going to get more from that scene, and it was just as bad as the previews let on. What were you kind of thinking watching that unfold?
I was just like covering my eyes. It was so cringeworthy. Like, of course, there's no way we're gonna have a new addition to the cast without Chris Harrison knowing. And the fact that he's like, Heather, like, what are you doing here? And she's like, I was like in the area, like Hannah Brown recommended me. And it's like, what the hell are you even talking about? Like, there, that didn't happen. Like, maybe Hannah Brown did tell you in passing, like, oh, you and Matt would be cute together. And then was like, oh my God, I should tell Chris Harrison and like set this whole thing up. Like, maybe Hannah Brown was the planner here, but it wasn't, like, it didn't go that way. It was so, it was such bad acting.
Such bad acting. And we've seen the Bachelor production crew piece together really entertaining content for years now. You're telling me the best storyline they could come up with is that Hannah Brown quarantined in Florida with him, came back to like LA or wherever and was like, girl, he's the one for you. You got to meet him. And waited until he was in wherever, Pennsylvania, wherever they are. That's the lamest story ever. Like, we really could have had just roll her in the way you did the other women.
Yeah.
Just like keep up with the flow of the show. This whole like production, like you said, of, you know, oh, Chris Harrison didn't know. It's like, we all know that you do. This is so silly. So I couldn't buy into it. It was cheesy and the acting was awful. But also, good for you, girl. Get some TV time. Like, you know, boost your clout. And she seems like, I don't have issues with Heather, right? Like, she's nice enough.
Yeah, I don't mind her at all. I feel like she's never, you know, done anything bad. So I like her, but I don't know. Last night, I was kind of just over it. I was like, there's too much going on already, and I highly doubt you're going to make it far on this season just because, you know, connections are already being formed. Like, two girls already said they were falling in love and stuff like that. So I don't know. It just kind of seemed like an unnecessary thing to throw in. But, I mean, I like her. It's just like, not now. Maybe next season.
Too many characters. It's like when a show goes on for too many seasons and they keep trying to mix in a character to keep it afloat.
Yeah.
But the other thing is we've seen how these women react to new contestants or new women in the house. And it doesn't go over well. No. So we know there's going to be drama. But I feel like we've already seen that story unfold, right? The OGs versus the new girls. And I don't really want to watch that again. Like, I thought we finally escaped it, and now Heather's back. And I don't know if I can handle two more episodes of the OGs, like, feeling slighted with time.
Yeah, I can honestly see just, like, Matt sending her home because the women are going to freak out. And it's like, we even saw, like, I think Piper, like, screamed when, you know, she saw that there was a new girl there and stuff like that. So it's like, it's just not going to go well. Like, we just need it to not happen.
Quick side note. Edit the whole Heather scene out. Just, like, cut it. We don't need it. We're done. Piper, though. Funny you bring her up.
She's
one-on-one. I'm a big Piper fan.
Yeah, I like her. I think I really wanted, like, seeing this one-on-one with Matt is what I needed for me to, like, actually definitively say that I like her, because I've liked her at like some points, but then I feel like she was just whining for no reason and like crying, and then I'd be like, she's so pretty, and then I'd be like, she's so annoying. So finally getting like more one-on-one time with her as a viewer was much needed, so I do like her now.
She's pretty, but she's whining. Happens to the best of us.
Yes.
She's young though. I think she's only like 23. So some of those moments where I caught her, like you said, whining.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, she's young. Like, she's not our 29-year-old sweet, dear Katie.
Yeah.
Has a more mature head on her shoulders. So the day was cute. They went to a little, like, private carnival and concert, which I thought was sweet. I liked not, you know, we talk about skydiving and airplane riding and, you know, this is up there with dangerous risks, you know. Moving mobile carnival ride.
Yeah, I thought it was really cute. They definitely did a better job with this carnival than the stupid one they tried to do with Tayshia and Brendan. They obviously really figured out ways to work their budget this season. So I thought it was definitely, it was a cute idea.
They did Tayshia so dirty, and I'm trying to let it go because she does seem happy and yeah. I adore her. But the budget and the production, like, come on. I know that this was your second go of, like, quarantine, you know, Bachelor style, but it's night and day. Like, they literally were just playing, you know, in the hotel pool for, like, group dates where the, I don't know, they did her dirty. They justice for Tayshia season.
I know, I agree. And even, like, I saw so many memes about it, like, when she had her date with Zach, they had, like, a cardboard cutout taxi. And, like, with this season, they're literally driving, like, nice-ass cars just to, like, the opposite end of the resort. And it's like, what is going on?
Yeah, it does kind of feel like they have their own, like, small town. Like, the way we've seen scenes of, you know, the women walking, going on strolls.
Yeah.
Where I just felt like Tayshia's season, they were, like, had 8 hotel rooms around the pool. And, like, they were trapped.
Agree.
So whatever. Which, you know, I can only imagine how bad the drama would get in the house if this group of women was stuck in those sweaty, like, I think back to all the scenes of, like, the guys sweating. Like, they always had, like, wet spots on their shirt, or, like, even Cortacia, like, glowing, just really, yeah. Really, clearly super, super hot. So again, they did her dirty. Cortacia.
Terrible location, just absolutely terrible.
Well, they've learned, right? We're all trying to learn in the past year. I think we've all learned a thing or two about quarantining and what we can and can't do. So they, you know, good for them. Good for them. Should we get into the group date, which was another, I thought, kind of cute enough group date? They went bowling.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was really cute, and everyone loved to see Matt in his bowling shirt. And I think, like, I forget which one of the girls said it, but they said it was, like, their favorite group date, just because the girls were being, like, so silly, and, like, obviously there was competition, so they were having a lot of fun and just, like, being themselves, which I thought, it just looked so normal and just so cute.
It was cute, and I always kind of, you know, talk down on the group dates where they're, like, physically assaulting each other or fighting. I don't quite get that.
Yeah.
Even the pillow fights in the past have turned a little aggressive. I like a good structured competition. But what's Rachel kept falling on the floor. I don't know if you noticed this, but every time they cut back, like, I love a good laugh. I love, like, knees weak. My stomach is cramping, like, hearty, hearty laugh. I'm sure that the bowling alley was sanitized for production purposes. When I think of bowling alleys, I think about how, like, germy they are, and mm-hmm. She's rolling on the floor, like, laughing every time something was remotely funny. I was like, girl, get up. It's so gross. Like, bowling alleys are dirty. There's just so many things you're touching.
Yeah. Yeah. As I'm thinking of bowling alley, I'm imagining, like, terrible, dirty carpet and, like, gum stuck to the floor and just nowhere you want your face nearby.
No. So good for her. Of course, they had to, the concept of, you know, rewards and punishments is so strange to me. Mm-hmm. And they made the girls that lost walk home. Like, the winners get to spend more time with Matt. The losers walk home in the rain. Like, that's kind of strange. Like, punishment.
Yeah, I remember, yeah, specifically that line and just being, like, gasping and being like, oh, damn, okay, walking home in the rain? Like, are they okay?
Right. It's not just we didn't get time with Matt. It's not only do you not get time with Matt, you're going to have to, like, go be cold and uncomfortable and, like, do more physical activity.
Terrible.
It was so weird. I'm like, these poor girls, no wonder they're fighting and miserable. They're being subjected to all these physical challenges. It was probably, like, you know, a 2-block stretch, like, across the resort, but I'm being oversensitive. And all that to say, they ended up getting time with Matt anyway. They'd played, like, the reverse Uno card. They're like, just kidding, like, undo. We want to spend more time with you.
Yeah, I thought that was really cute on his end because, you know, he could tell, like, the viewers could tell the girls were so disappointed that the losing team, that they weren't going to spend more time with him. And then when, I think, was it Chris Harrison that came in and kind of said, like, here's, like, a new date card or something. And they realized they were going to spend time with Matt, and they were so excited. I was like, this would be so cute if, like, you weren't all competing for the same guy.
Right? And just sitting in like their really dorky like bowling shirts, like wet from the rain, just miserable. It was cute how, like you said, it would be cute if they weren't competing for one single man. But that's the show, baby. That's what they're there for. I love it. It was cute. I liked it. A nice break from the drama. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to dive into what I'm dying to talk about. My two great favorite. Oh my God, my doorbell rang. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I did.
A heart attack. We're going to talk about my two favorite people. I'm going to take a quick breather. Tyler C. and Katie. All right. So all season, obviously, we know Matt is Tyler C.'s bestie. They're boys. And we know that Tyler's kind of let Matt do his thing, which I think is really nice. So let him have the spotlight. It's your time to shine. But all of America, we've been craving some Tyler C. time, and we finally got it last night. And it was really cute. Like I said earlier in the pod, you know, Matt's face lights up. You can tell he has like a comfortability and a confidence when he's with Tyler versus, you know, the spotlight. So they're playing pool, and it was kind of cute to just see them have, like you said, a bromance, like a bro moment.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I thought it was really cute. And I thought it was cute how, you know, like Tyler was trying to get a feel for the women in the house and seeing, you know, are you falling for these girls? Could you see yourself get down on one knee? I thought it was cute, especially because like Matt has admitted he's never been in love. So I'm sure, you know, Tyler hasn't seen the boyfriend Matt or, you know, the engaged Matt, obviously not. So I just thought it was really cute, like, you know, Tyler giving him advice and just like seeing him on this new chapter in his life.
It was sweet when he was like, do you think you could see yourself marrying? And when Matt said, like, absolutely, I was like, I know you're supposed to say that.
I know.
But it was still shocking to me. I was like, you could? Because I haven't seen that moment where I want his eyes to light up the same way they lit up when he saw Tyler. Like, that's what I want. I want to see those sparks. And I just haven't seen it from Matt all season.
I know, I agree. When he asked that question, I was like, no. And then he said yes, and I'm like, I doubt it, though.
He probably said no, and the producers were like, cut, 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 cut. We're going to do that again. They asked it again.
Yeah.
They really sell it to me. So, you know, they had a cute little moment. We got to see some Tyler time. And then this is when things went off the rails a little bit. Katie gets a one-on-one with Matt, and they're doing, like, Impractical Joker style, hidden camera, let's prank Tyler C, mm-hmm. who is getting a massage unmasked during a pandemic. So he takes his clothes off. Obviously, we get a lot of camera time of his body. And he's getting a massage, and Matt and Katie are, you know, telling the masseuse, like, what to say and do, which I thought was pretty funny. It was a cute date.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, you know, showed each of their personalities, and it was really creative. Like, it was different than any other one-on-one dates that we've had this season, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I also, like, it was just so weird. I can't, like, the way Matt and Katie's relationship, like, I know they didn't have a connection, you know, right away or maybe even at all, but it seemed like they were really enjoying the date, and at one point Matt even said, like, Katie's the perfect date. So I'm like, I don't understand, like why don't you like her?
Yeah, like, what's not to like, right? Like,
so she's confused.
Fun. She's mature. She's well-spoken. Like, she just kind of has all the things that you would think you're looking for in someone to marry, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's your life partner, in theory. So, like you said, what's wrong with her? And I was really impressed during the date, you know, Katie took the mic and was, like, egging on the masseuse. Mm-hmm. Like, so comfortable. At one point, the masseuse called Katie as if they were friends and was like, oh my God, you'll never guess who's here today. And Katie just rolled right, like, didn't miss a beat. I was like, you're so fun. You're so fun. And Matt looked like he was having fun. But like you said, in the back of my mind is the reality, Steve, you know, Katie's going home. So I'm like, what is she going to say that gets her sent home? I thought she was going to say something inappropriate or unfiltered or upset Tyler C., who knows. And it just was like an effortless date the whole time.
Yeah, agreed. And then I feel like once they were done with that date and they were going into, you know, the dinner portion of it, Matt said, like, oh, now we need to, like, See, it's the one of those things. Like, let's see if she can open up. Let's see if she can talk about, like, trauma, whatever. So in my head, I was like, oh, damn, like, she's not going to be serious. She's going to be joking the whole time or something like that. But then, you know, like, she was saying, like, oh, now we can have, like, serious conversations. So I was like, literally, where is this going to go wrong? I see no potential for this to go wrong.
I was definitely caught off guard. You know, we knew it was going to happen, but I was kind of hoping reality Steve was wrong. And I think, like, I love that about Kate is that, you know, we saw her be goofy in her limo entrance, but then she was also the one kind of, you know, trying to simmer down the drama and have serious conversations. She talked about her dad dying at one point. And I'm just like, is Matt intimidated by this? Is, you know, is there just truly not a connection? I wasn't quite piecing together where it was going wrong. And I was really sad to see her go, I'm not going to lie.
I know, me too. Like you said, I think she's a super well-rounded person. Like, I would love to be friends with her. I feel like maybe it was just one of those things where, like, it makes sense on paper, but, like, you just don't really feel it when you're together. I mean, I'm from assuming by, you know, how upset she was and everything like that, I'm sure she felt some type of connection, but it was upsetting. The only thing that was really getting me through it with, like, her leaving in the limo was, like, it's all right, you're going to be Bachelorette. Totally fine. Like, you're going to go on to something better than this. So just fingers crossed that happens.
Fingers crossed. And I think, you know, in my fantasy world where she is confirmed the Bachelorette, I just think she'll give those guys, like, truly a run for their money. Like, she's no nonsense. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's shy or intimidated. I think she's very, like, I don't know, I just think she'd be such a great lead. So I'm ready. And truthfully, I do see, like, comparisons between her and Tyler C, where, like, you know, you flash back to Hannah season, Tyler's, like, dancing, like, being goofy, but then he also had moments, you know, that won all of America over where he just talked about, like, I don't know, really serious stuff about how Hannah's body is, like, hers and no one should make her feel guilty for decisions. So I think that switch to turn on and off, I'm like, Matt, you have, like, the girl version of someone that emulates your best friend. Like, what are you doing? So, you know, she's gone for now. Fingers crossed. It's just a temporary goodbye for Katie. And hopefully only a temporary goodbye for Tyler C. I wouldn't mind some more Tyler C time.
I know. I'm really shocked that he, you know, this is the first time he was on the season. It doesn't really make any sense to me because ABC knows they can get more viewers if they put him on. So it's interesting.
I know, what is this episode, like, week six?
Yeah.
We waited 6 long weeks for Tyler C time. I was happy to see him, and maybe there's more, but I doubt it. Because Chris Harrison kept saying, said it a couple times this episode, you know, hometowns are coming up, things are getting, and I think that just obviously inflated all of the stress in the house, because people are realizing, okay, it's crunch time. We're, you know, usually we see them traveling to different cities. You know, they're just stuck. I can imagine time probably feels like a flat circle there, as it did for all of us this year. but I think a switch kind of went off when Chris Harrison mentioned hometowns and that things are getting more serious. I don't know. I don't have my hometown favorites at this point, though. I feel like usually I'm a little more confident by this point in the season.
I know. I agree. When he mentioned hometowns, I was like, well, that's not for another, like, 3 months. Like, why did you bring that up? But, yeah, I mean, it'll be quickly approaching, you know. It's interesting. And Matt sent home 5 girls last night. So, like, things are getting freaking real. So, I don't know. I feel like my predictions right now for hometowns are, like, Michelle, Rachel, Serena P., and honestly, I don't know. Chelsea, maybe? I don't know.
That's what I said. I'm like, oh, we just met them last week.
Yeah.
And we really don't. You mentioned all the girls that went home, though. We didn't talk about Maggie. I adored her. I thought she was, like, such an interesting person and such a beautiful person. And we really didn't get that much time with her this season.
I know. She
went home.
I know, and her, like, the way that she left was just so elegant and adorable, and I was like, God damn it, Matt, what did you do? Like, She was so smiling, just kept it together and said, like, good luck. And then she, you know, with her confessional said something like, oh, the person's out there, you know, for me. I'm excited to meet him when it happens. Just like, oh, my God. How do you act that way when you're eliminated? That's, like, the nicest, most, like, put together person in the world.
Literally the most poise we have seen from anyone this year, especially coming fresh off, you know, Victoria leaving and confronting that at the rose ceremony. Just a 180. So justice for Maggie. I had to get that on the podcast here. Justice for Maggie. I think she is brilliant and wonderful. And we didn't see enough of her. I think your final four there, hometown vibes, is a good pick. You know, I try not to let the spoilers influence who I like, but we know some spoilers. I don't know though. I'm shocked that I'm still undecided. So we'll see. But are they gonna? They can't do hometown, right? Like we have to do the similar mock hometowns that we saw in Tayshia's season.
Probably, yeah. That's what I'm assuming. I don't know though, but just assuming.
I'm so nosy. Like I love hometown because you have that moment of like, oh, this is why they are the way that they are.
Same.
And, like, the disappointed dad being, like, you know, what are your intentions with my daughter? Like, all the cliches, I like, that's what I crave in the Bachelor journey is the hometown conversations. So I'm really disappointed that we don't get that again. But I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I love the Bachelor hometowns maybe more than Bachelorette just because, like, he has to ask for the dad's permission. He doesn't have to, but they always do that for every single person. And it's so awkward because the dad is always like, well, are you saying this to every other dad? And it's like, yep, I am. Like, it's just, it's so twisted. I love it.
I love it, too. And I have to wonder, too, you know, at this point, by the time the lead gets to hometowns, like, they're so conditioned with the cameras and, like, probably taking multiple takes. Imagine being like, you know, just the suburban dad, like sweating under the light, being like having to rehearse lines over and over again. Like the reality of it cracks me up. So hopefully we see some of that. And I think Matt's kind of nervous too. So to see him ask for someone's, you know, hand in marriage, I love, as much as I've been dunking on his, you know, reservations, I am kind of charmed by his nervousness.
Yeah, it'll probably be a little bit awkward, but like completely adorable, hopefully.
Hopefully, I know. We don't want to jinx it. Well, as we're talking about adorable and everything that we love, it would only be right to circle back to the drama at the end of the episode because that's the theme of this season is, you know, the OGs versus the new people. And we did get a little taste of Heather at the end of the episode. Was the acting better or worse than her first arrival? We have rolling up to the security guard in her minivan and then rolling up to the mansion or wherever in her minivan and into the house. Matt James being like, Heather, is that you? So bad. But I don't know if it was as bad as Chris Harrison being like, Heather, is that you?
Yeah, I think the Chris Harrison bit was a little bit worse. This was just like awkward because I felt bad for the other women that were just watching. Whereas the Chris Harrison one was just like, this needed to be cut out. I don't care how you got here. Just like, I don't want any of this.
It was so funny. And then, you know, we see teasers of her next week just being like, I didn't know they'd be so mean. And normally I'd roll my eyes at that, but knowing how the girls have treated each other in the house all season, I'm kind of nervous. And I think Kit, they cut to her, like, you know, teasing next week. She, like, basically calls Heather out, like, you don't know her. Like, these are, you're strangers. I can't believe how callous some of the girls have been to the newcomers. And I kind of feel bad for Heather. Like, I'm anxious for what is about to unfold.
Yeah, me too. I think she's going to get wrecked. Like, they're really going to attack her. It's going to be terrible. It's so annoying because it's like, I understand why the women are upset when there's new competition, obviously. That sucks. But it's like, the show is allowing it. Like, you freaking out and saying it's not fair is not going to change anything except for you're going to look bad. So just keep your shit together and it'll be fine.
I totally agree. I think they need to, like, cut the whining. The whining is too much for me, as this whole podcast is me whining about their whining. But, like you said, it's like, all right, you know, focus on, okay, how do I maintain these connections that we have? But the never-ending complaint seems to be, we get no time with Matt. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, if no one's getting time with him, then what is he doing all the time? Are we really not getting time with him, or we just want more? Everyone wants more. That's the whole premise of the show, is that you don't get him to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like the women now, it's getting to the point where the women that haven't had one-on-ones, they're really starting to panic. So once they see, like, another girl come in, they're just, like, completely a mess, which, like, I get, but also it'll work out. And if it doesn't work out, it wasn't meant to be, you know? I don't know.
There's a million other men on planet Earth, ladies. Like, I'm sure you'll figure it all beautiful. You all have probably, like, never-ending DMs on Instagram. Like, it's okay. The Heather, though, I think they are going to eat her alive. Like, mm-hmm. I wonder how much they can air on ABC. And I just think these girls are ruthless. Like, ruthless.
Yeah, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if she just goes home on her own, because it's going to be bad.
That's such a weird storyline, though, too. Like, to show up, quarantine, allegedly, who knows how long she was quarantining, and then just go home, like, that same night. It just seems like such a weird angle. I don't quite get the end goal in that, but I guess TV, like, more airtime. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I can't justify it realistically, and then also from, like, a producer's storyline, but maybe I'm just being grouchy about it.
No, same. We'll have to figure out. If she does go home next week, we'll have to reassess the situation on the podcast, because I really don't know.
I don't know either. Like you said, that's a good line. Let's give it time to play out. There's no faith in the producers. They are the experts. They know what they're doing. But yeah, only time will tell. So next week, hopefully Heather's tears are minimal. I know we saw a teaser for some tears. But she's a human being. We don't need anyone to be bullied into, you know, just crying their eyes out like that. So mm-hmm. time will tell. I'm excited, though, because I think we are kind of weeding out some of the drama and the chaos. And hopefully next week we see more connections with Matt. I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. We appreciate you guys for listening, and hope you join us for the rest of the season. We'll talk to you soon.